Hi, friends. Welcome back to Tea Time. I don't know when that started, but that makes it worse to me.
Oh, it makes it all the better. I think I had to go a little bit easier on it this time so I didn't choke.
Well, friends, today we are going to talk all about trans bathroom bans.
Yes. So I'm sure a lot of us at this point are at least somewhat familiar in regards to the trans bathroom ban, especially because it's become sort of a hot, controversial topic over the past few years. But we just wanted to briefly walk you all through some of the historics that have sort of led us to where we're at now with it. So for those of you who might not know, bathroom bill as it relates to trans people is just the common name for legislation that defines access to public restrooms by gender and gender identity, and they basically just impact access that people have to sex-segregated public restrooms based on your individual sex that has been assigned at birth. So basically, if a trans woman, for example, has not yet had top surgery, then some of these bills and bans would prevent her from using the restroom that corresponds with her gender identity.
Dumb.
Very dumb. So just to move into a little bit of the history of the trans bathroom ban, a lot of this started in 2013 after a landmark case in Colorado, where the Colorado Civil Rights Division actually ruled in favor of a 6-year-old transgender student. Her name is Coy Mathis, and it was ruling to allow her to use the girls' restroom at her elementary school. And this was actually the first ruling of its kind in the United States, and it just became the very first high-profile trans rights case in the country. So first, let's just talk about the fact that this case was for a 6-year-old girl.
Right. I think the last thing a 6-year-old needs to worry about is where she's going to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Like, for what?
Right. And again, sexualizing trans people, even sexualizing trans children.
Literally, like, she's 6. Let her pee.
Right. So then moving forward, in February of 2016, the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, adopted an ordinance for their local jurisdiction that allowed trans persons a right to access bathrooms according to their gender identity. So it basically just expanded their pre-existing discrimination ordinance to now also include gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, as well as marital status, all to their list of protected categories. And this also eliminated the word sex and replaced it with gender just to be more inclusive. So this is all good, right? Well, as a response to this Charlotte ordinance, the state of North Carolina passed the Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act, or a lot of us know it as House Bill Number 2. And this bill just defined the issue of bathroom access as a statewide concern and defined sex as biological, requiring that all bathrooms be separated based on biological sex. And this legislature in 2016 is sort of what kick-started the whole controversy that exists around this topic today.
Okay, so, like you said, the first kind of landmark case was in 2013, and then in 2016, things all started to go downhill, really.
Right.
Well, I hate to break it to everyone, but trans people existed and were peeing before the year of 2016, before the year of 2013. Mm-hmm. So why all of a sudden is it this big issue that needs to be addressed so urgently when trans people had been going to the bathroom for years and years and years and it has been literally fine?
Right. Yeah, it absolutely is not an issue. It's just that if you look at some of the legislation in the past 5-6 months or so, 2021 has been deemed as one of the largest in history, most anti-trans years ever.
And for what?
Right.
Nothing that trans people have been doing has changed.
No.
It's the same.
Right.
So for what?
It's for nothing legitimate. We'll just say that much. So we just wanted to present you all with a bit of the opposing arguments points, just so you can know where proponents of this legislation stand. So proponents of the legislation say that bathroom bans are necessary to, number one, maintain privacy. So, Lauren, I know that you felt sort of passionate about this point of maintaining privacy, so why don't you take a second to pop off a little bit?
Absolutely. As a cis woman who has used the women's restroom since birth, more restrooms than not have a sizable gap between the stall door and the end of the stall. I cannot even tell you how many times I have literally made eye contact with a woman washing her hands while I'm sitting and peeing. Like, we could smile at each other, we could give each other our phone numbers, we could have a whole conversation while maintaining eye contact. There's literally nothing private about the restroom.
Right. It just it just solidifies the fact that our restrooms in general are not at all built for privacy in the first place.
Right. And also, I have only mistakenly gone to the men's restroom one time. But men could literally, if they felt like it, hold hands while they're peeing. Like, that's, like, pretty close to me. I don't know really how private that is.
I don't know. But moving forward, proponents of the legislation also say that these bans are necessary to protect what they claim is an innate sense of modesty held by most cis people. So... This just goes hand in hand with what we've talked about before about the hypersexualization of the trans community, right?
Right, absolutely.
I just, what do you mean an innate sense of modesty held by most cisgender people? This is also very sex negative for cis people.
Right, that's also assuming that cis people have to be modest or hold modesty as one of their core values, which is stupid. There's nothing wrong with not being a modest person. Like you said, it's just very sex hating.
Right. And it works.
And sex shaming.
Right. Sex shaming. Exactly. And it also works to, I don't know, the United States and Western culture just loves dichotomies and putting people into boxes. So it also seems to put cis people in this box of modesty, and you can't deviate from that. Otherwise, you're viewed negatively. And then it just puts all LGBT folks in this box of hypersexualized, like, predatory behaviors.
Absolutely. Like you said, like, modesty is, for whatever reason, in our culture, like, valued, like, you're better than others if you are this, like, modest, wholesome individual, which is stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. So proponents also say that this legislation is necessary to prevent voyeurism, which in plain terms is just gaining sexual pleasure through watching others who are naked or underclothed. Do you have any comments on this one?
No, the same one of literally... watch, like, I could watch other women pee because our bathrooms are not built for privacy at all whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. They also say that this legislation is necessary to prevent assault, molestation, and rape. So let's touch about on the fact that most assaults and rapes are statistically perpetrated by white men. So in 2015, spokespeople from the Transgender Law Center, the Human Rights Campaign, and the ACLU all came out about all of this and stated that there's absolutely zero statistical evidence of violence existing to actually warrant this legislation. So in other words, there have been zero trans people that has been reported or documented who have actually assaulted someone in a public restroom.
This is the exact same thing we were talking about a couple episodes ago about the 11 trans kids in the entire state of Florida that wanted to play sports, and then they made statewide legislation banning that. Like, nothing is happening. Nothing is new. Nothing is wrong. It's just, like, a fear-mongering like way to let people be open about their hate for trans people.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to mention the fact that they claim that it's necessary to prevent assault, molestation, and rape. I'm sorry, don't we already have legislation that does that?
Right.
It's literally an attack on trans people. And moving forward, statistically speaking, most assaults and rapes, as we had mentioned before, are perpetrated by cisgender white men. And even more specifically, there have actually been more sex-related assaults in public restrooms perpetrated by our United States politicians.
Right, specifically white men, politicians, not even the whole group of cis white men, but cis white politician men have done more harm than the entirety of the trans community in a public restroom.
Right, right. And we don't want to get too deep into this, but as always, these links will all be posted in the description, so please feel free to do further research if you are interested. But the last piece of information that proponents of the legislation claim as to why it's so necessary is in order to retain psychological comfort. So this one is interesting because the trans bathroom crisis has been deemed by social scholars and scientists as a literal moral panic, which, for those of you who don't know, is just an unnecessary and exaggerated social spread of fear. For example, in the 1970s, there was the social and moral panic of the satanic panic. So, Lauren, do you want to talk about this point of retaining psychological comfort? For who?
Right, for who? Because we know trans people, you being one of those trans people in the early days of your transition, you literally would not eat, would not drink when we were out, so you didn't have to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. We would literally leave functions or places early because you didn't want to use the restroom because it is terrifying. Mm-hmm. And I am not even a trans person. Watching you go into the men's restroom, I literally stand directly outside as close as I can get. I listen as hard as I can to see if anyone is making any sort of aggressive comments to you or anything. And I literally just like stand there, an anxious ball of paranoia, until you come back out.
Yeah. That's got to be difficult for you, but also I love that, knowing that, like, your little ass will just storm in there and be like, you get away from me, man!
I would be pissed. I would storm right in there if I ever heard a single thing.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. I believe it. So, yeah, those are all of the points that proponents of the legislation like to make. So now let's move forward to the critics of the bills, i.e. us.
Yeah.
So critics of the bills argue that this legislation does not actually make public restrooms any safer for cisgender or transgender people, and actually it does quite the opposite and makes them unsafer for both trans and gender nonconforming people. And this sort of ties hand in hand with what we were talking about before, about retaining psychological comfort, also retaining safety, but again, for whom?
Right. And you and I know many people in the LGBT community who, for example, lesbian women who just present themselves in a more masculine way. Mm-hmm. Like, these people who are so hateful honestly don't know shit about trans people. They don't know what a trans person even is. Mm-hmm. So, like, these masculine presenting women walk into the women's restroom where they feel comfortable with the gender they identify as, and it's a problem now because everyone is on, like, high alert for, like, a trans person in their bathroom, and it's affecting people who literally aren't even trans.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point, because these bills and proponents for these bills are supposed to be about, quote, safety, when really they're making situations unsafer. So another point that critics of the legislation likes to make is that there have been no cases of a trans person attacking a cis person in a public restroom. Now, Because we do like to present all of the facts that we are aware of, there has been one case of voyeurism in a Target fitting room in Idaho in 2016. However, we do want to point out that this is one isolated incident, meaning that various bans in legislation are, one, transphobic in nature, and two, rooted in deep hysteria.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So there's this really great writer and a great article that I found. Her name is Lindsay King Miller, and she's a culture and politics writer with Role Reboot magazine. And she has this really awesome article, and something that she writes in it is that proponents of these bathroom bills argue that they're a safety measure to help prevent trans women from harassing or assaulting cis women. But that's absurd because, as we had mentioned prior, there are already laws against harassing and assaulting people. And just as we keep reiterating in all of this, there have been no documented cases that can be found of a trans woman harassing or assaulting anyone in a public bathroom. So banning trans women from sharing restrooms with cis women does not do anything for the safety of any other cis women. However, it does send a message to trans people that they are not welcome, and that's precisely the purpose of this legislation.
Right. Like, if you think about it, this is not just about bathrooms. If you don't have access to a public restroom, you can't be out for hours at a time in a public space. Like, this is just a front to take away access to all public mm-hmm. spaces for trans people by taking away, like, one of the basic necessities that you need to occupy these spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, after you saying that, it also seems to be rooted in just trans erasure, hoping that if trans people cannot, you know, be present in public spaces, then maybe they'll just go away.
Which is dumb.
Yeah, and transphobic. So, by comparison, if we want to talk about safety legislation, a much larger percentage of trans people have actually been verbally, physically, and or sexually harassed and assaulted by cis people in public facilities. So in 2015, it was reported that 12% of transgender people who were surveyed had been reported being harassed, attacked, or sexually assaulted in a public restroom, and 59% of trans people actually avoided public restrooms and spaces because they were afraid of harassment or being confronted about being trans.
That just, like, extra pisses me off because these bathroom bans only affect the trans people who aren't what society would deem as passing. Mm-hmm. Like, you can continue to go in the restroom and no one will know the difference, but specifically trans women who aren't what society deems as passing they already have such a target on their back that, like, now these stupid bills just subject them to more violence, mm-hmm. more abuse, and they already have the largest target on their back, and you're just gonna add to the pile by making stupid laws for literally no reason.
Yeah, that are absolutely unnecessary. So going back to that article by Lindsay King Miller, one other thing that she writes in there, and this is a direct quote, she says, "I am tired of people who don't care about what's best for women, pretending they do, only when it's convenient," meaning only when it will allow them to discriminate against an even more oppressed group, just as Lauren was saying. I absolutely reject the idea that cis women's safety and trans women's privacy and self-determination are at odds. If you claim to care about women, you'd better care about all women and work to actually keep them safe. How do you feel about that?
I just think this ties back to a few episodes ago when we were talking about different, like, national women's organizations saying, as women, this is not what we want. This is not our concern. Stop using us as a scapegoat for your hatred, for your discrimination. Like, if you want to protect women, it's all the states that are, like, trying to make the abortion illegal and taking away access to sexual health resources. It's all these states who claim that they're trying to protect women. Like, they're the same. Like, they go hand in hand, and that makes no sense to me. You're not doing any actual work that protects women.
Right, exactly. So moving into just one of the more recent pieces of legislation, as of this past week, state legislatures in Arizona, Illinois, Kansas, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas have all proposed bills that would restrict public toilet access to only allowing access on the basis of sex as biologically defined. So before we go into the most recent piece of legislation, we just want to point out that just this year, so we're, you know, about 6 months in, 58 new bills regarding anti-transgender bathroom, locker, and youth sports bans have been introduced. Just this year, 58.
Like, for what? What has happened? I just honestly don't understand. Right. And, like, you're telling me that you, like, the government, whoever, would not receive more complaints if someone like you walked into the women's bathroom? Mm-hmm. You would get,
yeah,
just as, you'd get more comments in the women's bathroom than the men's bathroom. You would get harassed literally more.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
right,
you're intentionally subjecting trans people to more harassment, and you're not even, like, trying to hide it. Mm-hmm. Like, you just are.
Yeah, no, that's a really great point that I hadn't even thought of before, but I actually sometimes feel, like, nervous that by mistake and by habit, I'll walk into the women's restroom and then be looked at, like, super, super oddly, especially, you know, like, now that mask mandates are starting to be lifted and whatnot. I have
right.
this, like, face of facial hair and, like, walking into a women's restroom by mistake. Like, why would you want that?
Right. You would literally be labeled, like, a sexual predator yeah. for doing what the government told you you had to do.
Yeah. No, that's a really great point. So to speak on some recent legislation that has been passed, just in the last week, the Tennessee governor signed an anti-transgender business bathroom bill into law, and it's a discriminatory bill that aims to prevent trans people from using restrooms aligning with their gender identities by requiring businesses with either formal or informal policies to use allowing trans people to use appropriate restrooms to post offensive and humiliating signage outside of these doors. So this legislation would make Tennessee the first in the nation to require businesses and government facilities to post a sign outside of the doors of whether or not they allow trans people to use multi-person bathrooms, as well as locker rooms or changing rooms and stuff like that.
Why?
To humiliate trans people. And to add to the hysteria.
Honestly, I just, like, you can't even, like, let... I just, like, honestly don't understand.
I don't either. And, you know, I'm sure as many of us are at least somewhat educated on back in the 60s, the civil rights movement and whatnot, Time magazine actually relates these bills, and it makes sense if you think about it, back to the Jim Crow era when there were signs outside of various public facilities for whites or blacks. So that's what we're going to do now?
Right. And like I said in the very beginning, everyone has been using the same restroom as trans people before this. Like, yeah. You have. You just didn't know it, and nothing happened to you.
Right.
So it's fine.
Right, right. So I guess staying on the topic of more current events, but I guess just more locally to us, do you want to mention, talk a little bit about, since we are in the Cleveland area, the Rocket Mortgage Arena situation creating gender-neutral bathrooms?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay, this story that I am about to tell is the biggest indicator that this is entirely about hate, nothing about safety, literally just about being discriminatory.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rocket Mortgage Arena, which, like Bo said, is in the Cleveland area, somewhat recently made some sort of post about how they are creating gender-neutral bathrooms mm-hmm. in their facility. And people were mad about it.
Oh, good God.
So first of all, why? You don't want trans people using your restroom. You've made that very clear. So Rocket Mortgage Arena says, okay, we hear you. We're putting in gender-neutral bathrooms. Trans people, non-binary people, anyone who feels uncomfortable, you go straight in the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And people are still mad. So you don't want people, trans people to use the restroom at all. Like, your whole point was that you, quote, don't feel comfortable or safe with trans people in your bathroom. So they make one for trans people, which in no way affects you. You can still go use the women's restroom. You can still go use the men's restroom as a cis person. It just gives a safe space for trans people, and you're still mad about it?
Right. Like, they're literally giving you what you want, what you asked for, and not to mention the fact, though, that they're not taking anything away from you.
No, they're still, adding.
Right. You still have access to your cis women, cis men, whatever, restrooms. All they're doing is adding an extra measure in place to be more inclusive, and you're still angry and up in arms about everything. So that just goes to show, really, that it's not about safety at all.
Right.
It's about tearing down other communities and being discriminatory.
Right. So really, you're telling me you never want to see a trans person in the public space ever again.
Right, right. So I'm sweating right now, I gotta be honest. So I guess just to transition into a little bit more of a helpful tidbit, how do we advocate or be allies for stuff like this?
I think on a more personal, like, one-to-one level, I will post the link to something like this if and when we find it, but having some sort of sticker, like a button, something on your bag, on your computer, whatever it may be that you take out and about in public spaces that says something to the degree of, like, being a bathroom buddy for trans people. Because obviously, I'm not a trans person, but I could see that being very comforting, knowing I can ask this person to come to the restroom with me and they will, like, keep an eye out and make sure I enter and exit safely, because that's a legitimate fear for trans people, not cis people.
Yeah.
And just kind of be an ally. I think that's, like, a very outward way to be an ally, but I honestly don't think people understand how impactful that could be.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really great idea. It's outward, but also subtle.
Yes.
So it's not too overt.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you do work for a business or an organization or whatever, which I would venture to say that most, if not all of us do, another way that you could be an ally or an advocate is to advocate to your bosses and upper-level management to, if you don't have one already, put in place a gender-neutral bathroom. I can't speak for all trans people, but as a trans person, I can say that that's something that I appreciate endlessly when I go somewhere and they have a single-use and or gender-neutral bathroom. So that's another great way to be an ally.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to move into our two listener questions of the week?
Yes, please. I like our questions this week.
Okay. Our first question comes from someone who just started the pod, so we love that.
Woo!
We love new friends. And it says, through the beginning process of T, have there been any mental changes? I know medications can cause a range of side effects for everyone, and I just didn't know how T affected Bo's body. I was just wondering, did Bo go through any phases that he just felt sluggish or tired at random times throughout the T process, or was there more just a physical change that he went through?
Yeah, so, and actually, I heard something new in this reading of this question this time, so I'm glad that we read it again. But in terms of mental changes, I know that some of the side effects of tea that some doctors and research says is that you could feel, like, sometimes angrier or get more, like, feel more emotionally rash.
Yeah.
I didn't really think that I experienced that so much. What do you think I did, looking back at all?
No, I don't think so. I think that was something that we were kind of worried about. I think it's crazy to think how different of a person you are at this point of our relationship, because I think in the beginning that kind of was something you struggled with, so we kind of did anticipate that it would be more prominent, but it really wasn't.
Yeah, well, folks, that's what happens when you cut out toxicity. I gotta be honest. I mean, no more comments. But But to the second point of the question, in terms of being tired or sluggish, absolutely. I don't know. Maybe it started like 2 or 3 months in, but I got to a point where I was literally tired all the time. Like I could sleep like 20 out of the 24 hours of the day. And, you know, from asking questions to my doctor and doing research and whatnot, it's seems to be because your body is quite literally going through like another puberty. And I know that you've talked about before your younger brother, when he was going through puberty in the earlier stages, being tired like all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is something that did happen to me a little bit.
As a woman who loves naps, I should have taken more advantage of that.
You should have, because now I'm like, no.
I know.
No, screw a nap.
Oh my gosh. Okay, our second question. This one says, my question is about neopronouns. Mm. An example would be, instead of someone going by she, her, he, him, or they, them, they would use something like star self. I'm not sure I know much about neopronouns, and I'd like to hear both of your thoughts about them. I'm trying to educate myself every day and be respectful with how someone chooses to identify, and I will definitely be taking the time to read some articles about this topic, but I would still like to hear your thoughts about it. I'm not sure how well known or talked about neopronouns are. First of all, we love that you are doing your own research.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep that up. I love that you kind of took it upon yourself to say, I don't really know a lot about this, but mm-hmm. I'm going to learn. So props to you.
Yeah, we absolutely love that. And I guess just to be straightforward too, neopronouns and what I'll get into in just a second, noun self pronouns, they're sort of a new concept to us as well.
Mm-hmm.
So our knowledge is also limited, but I do appreciate this question because it allows us to sort of open up our minds more and do our research too. So if some of you might remember, I think it was back in episode 4 about pronouns. We did talk briefly about neopronouns, but neopronouns are just defined as a category of new or neo pronouns that are increasingly used in place of she, he, or they when referring to a person. So if you'll recall, some examples of these include things pronouns like ze, zem, zir, or z, here, here's. So neopronouns can be used by anyone, though they are most often used by transgender, non-binary, and or gender non-conforming people. And as always, they're just meant to be more inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And also just to reject the binaries and dichotomies that we as human beings have been sort of forced into throughout our lifetimes. So along with neopronouns, we also have noun self pronouns, which are actually just like a subcategory of neopronouns. And from what we understand, they were developed in 2013 and or ish 2014 timeframe. And they were made by a group of non-binary people on social media. And basically, they were just intended to be used by smaller numbers of people who felt that different forms of these noun self pronouns express something distinctive or unique about themselves or their genders or their identities. However, anybody can use noun self pronouns. So some examples of these might include earlier sets of noun self pronouns like the fairy themed set. So this could be fae, fair, fairs, fair self. And just as the listener question stated, another could include star gender, so like star or star self. Lauren, do you have any thoughts on neo and or noun self pronouns?
I think to my knowledge, no one has ever told me that they use neo pronouns or noun self pronouns, but just like anything else, if someone told me that was their pronouns, then I would use them. I do think, unfortunately, this is like a subset of the LGBT community that is most often made fun of and kind of used as a tool to punish the whole LGBT community. I think people who use noun self or neo pronouns are by society often kind of condemned by saying that that's ridiculous, mm-hmm. this is made up, like you're crazy, you have a mental illness, and then they kind of take that subset of the LGBT community and generalize to larger groups.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is stupid.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right.
It doesn't affect, same way for you changing your pronouns, it doesn't affect anyone else's life. You change a few words in your vocabulary and you move on. So I think it's really unfortunate that this subset of the LGBT community is treated that way.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. You know, we don't know all that much about neopronouns. We also don't really have much personal experience with them, but basically, just as many other things that we discuss, it all boils down to just respecting and honoring others' pronouns, even if you don't understand them. And also honoring the fact that they know themselves better than you and better than anyone else. So, yeah, just respect people. If somebody asks you to call them star self, that's what you do.
Love that.
So, do you want to sort of go into our closing comments and talk about our exciting endeavor for Pride Month?
Yes, we are super duper duper excited for the month of June, Pride Month, woohoo!
Oh yeah.
We have lined up 5 amazingly beautiful, intelligent individuals from various communities within the LGBT community, and they are going to be our guests. We're going to have a new guest every single week to give you guys a larger perspective within the LGBT community, talk about some different topics. And we're excited to hear your thoughts about it.
Yeah, we're super, super excited. And then just to sort of look ahead for after Pride Month, we wanted to ask you all, if you have anything, to feel free to write in topics that you all want us to start covering in July. Just as always, we want to be as listener-based as we possibly, and as listener-centric as we possibly can. So yeah, we want to talk about things that you all want to hear. So please feel free to let us know if you have anything.
And as always, we love hearing your questions every single week. If you are a new listener, if you are an old listener, even through the month of June, we'll still be answering your questions at the end of each episode. So keep writing them in. We love it.
Yep, we absolutely do. Follow us on social media. That's another outlet that you can use to write in your questions. And the last most exciting thing that we want to talk about is that we officially have made it over 1,000 downloads.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I know I have a very monotone voice, but we are super stoked about that, especially because, you know, tea time has only been a thing for a few months now. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really cool accomplishment, and it's all thanks to you guys. So thank you so much for everything that you've done, and for downloading and for sharing. We just really appreciate you all,
and we will see you next week for the first day of Pride Month.
Woo!